Hello and welcome to People in Profit. I'm Charles Belgrand. The AI Action Summit is over. Paris's Grand Palais now stands empty after the likes of Emmanuel Macron, Narendra Modi, J.D. Vance, Sam Altman, and Sundar Pichai took to the stage to praise the benefits of artificial intelligence and claim their stake in its future. But what can we take from it? In a bid to make up for lost time, Europe and France have pledged significant boosts in AI investments and promised to keep regulations from stifling innovation. The US has vowed to remain the dominant force in the field. And China was eager to play the part of the responsible actor, signing on to a joint declaration to, quote, ensure AI is open, inclusive, transparent, ethical, safe, secure, and trustworthy, and making AI sustainable for people and the planet, a statement which the US and UK refused to sign. Here to discuss what's happened here in Paris are Sacha Rubel, European Head of Generative AI Policy at Amazon Web Services, and Alexandre Zapolsky, the CEO and co-founder of Linagora, a French open source software editor, and the creator of the Lucy chatbot, which has made quite a few headlines in the past few weeks. Thanks to both of you for being with us here. I want to start the conversation quite generally with your main takeaways from this AI Action Summit in Paris. What is the main conclusion that you draw, starting with you, Sacha Rubel?
President Macron, in framing the AI Action Summit, talked about the need to focus not only on misuse, but also missed use of this technology. And it's my key takeaway from this summit is that countries and governments and civil society and industry are really convinced of the transformational power of this technology. And it's reflected in a report that we just released that shows that businesses across the EU, more than three quarters of them, are convinced that AI will transform their businesses, not only in terms of economic opportunities, but also in terms of social opportunities. So that's my key takeaway from the summit, is it's an all hands on deck moment for everybody to come together to think through how to shape the future of this technology, both in terms of governance frameworks, but also in terms of very concrete applications of what this technology can do.
Alexandre Zapolsky, what about you?
So I think so. France, President Macron, they have shown that France and Europe are in the place. I mean, I'm not sure that it was so clear for everyone, but after this summit, I think it's absolutely clear. We have the energy, we have the community, something absolutely important. You said it, everyone was here, not only the government. It's a big difference between Bletchley Park and, of course, the Korean summit, because it was online. Here, we had absolutely everyone in the same place, the government, the entrepreneur, the civil society. And so everyone was here together. And maybe to understand also that AI is not only a business. AI is also a question of which kind of world we want, which kind of society we want. And the call that have been signed by more than 60 countries, I think, is absolutely the main takeaway of this event.
A statement signed by 61 countries, except obviously the big one, the United States. And we're going to talk about the place that Europe finds itself in compared to the US. One stat from last year in terms of funds raised in the AI space in the US, I think it was around $47 billion, whereas in France and Germany together, it was $2.5 billion. So will this summit actually bridge the gap?
One of the key findings that we found in our report is that actually last year, more than 3 million businesses in the EU adopted AI. That's more than the adoption rate of mobile phones in the early 2000s. And it actually represents more than 5 businesses a minute. It's just extraordinary in terms of the effervescence and the opportunity. What we do see, however, is that there's an emergence of a kind of two-tier economy where startups are adopting AI at a faster rate than larger businesses. So I think the key question is, how do we move from kind of efficiency and productivity gains to operational transformation, both in the startups, but also in the bigger enterprise companies in France and beyond? And in this report that we've just published and launched on the margins of the Action Summit, We see that Europe has everything it needs to succeed. But there are three key blockers that need to be addressed. One is the regulatory uncertainty, and that is something that came up a lot in the Action Summit. In the EU, for example, we found that more than 68% of European businesses struggle to understand their obligations under the EU AI Act. And actually, more than 40 euros of each 100 euros of businesses of all sizes goes to addressing compliance questions. And so in order to realize the vision of, for example, a digital single market, we need to make sure that these regulations are harmonized and that companies across the EU have the clarity necessary so that they can scale. Because fundamentally, companies like Linagora want to be French and European champions, but they also want to be global champions. And that's one of the key things that we see in terms of blockers. The second piece that we found in this report that we just launched is that businesses are coming to us to say, look, we have the technology, we know what we want to do with it, we know our business challenge, but we don't have the skills necessary inside of our company to address the challenges that we would like to face. And so really investing in skills building inside of companies, but across educational systems, and France has been a leader in this and a lot of their initiatives, is really key. And then thirdly, speaking to your point, one of the key blockers to accelerating AI adoption is lack of investment. And in fact, businesses that we talked to across the EU said that government incentives and public funding and private investment from VCs is actually one of the key levers to unlocking the opportunities of this technology. So skills, investment, and regulatory clarity, that will make the EU competitive.
Speaking of the finances, during the summit, we had Macron announced 109 billion euros in AI investments in France. Von der Leyen bouncing on the EU AI champions initiative of major corporations in the EU, promising 150 billion and adding 50 billion on top of that euros. Was that the signal as an entrepreneur in the tech space? Was that the signal that you were hoping for in terms of the, accessing that financing that generally is more available on the other side of the Atlantic?
Since the emergence of the open source AI, and since the big waves from DeepSeek, from China, everyone has understood that it's not needed to raise billions of dollars or euro to be as competitive as the best in class. With open source, and that's the beauty of open source AI, everyone has his chance to compete on the global market. You're absolutely right, Sacha. But it's not a question of money. It's a question of impact. And so we are in the race. France is in the race. Europe is in the race. What we need more than money, because there is a lot of money on the market. You said it. It's no more an issue in France, in Europe. No, the main issue is about the data sets. When you do open source AI, you need to have access to open source data sets. And we have not a lot, but we have some big data sets to train our model. Linagora just released his own model that we have used to train Lucy. 3 trillion of tokens. It's a lot. It has been downloaded more than 65,000 of times from Hugging Face. So it starts to scale. People, they have understood that we have done something huge with that. But after the phase of training of your AI, you need a phase of post-training. And this instruct phase, it's where you teach to your AI, so for example, for our Lucy, to interact normally with human people. And this phase, we need to have more data on this phase. And that's the main challenge that we address, the open source AI address. And we need to work on that direction.
I just want to go back on this challenges that you're facing. And you talked about Lucy. You launched a first version of the chatbot earlier in January, and it faced quite a lot of criticism and mockery, let's be honest, about notably some absurd answers where Lucy was hailing the benefits of cow's eggs and all that stuff. Did that sort of, in a way, signify sort of the place that Europe finds itself in this race?
So, as I said, what we are missing is this specific data set, this question and answer to teach and to make your AI able to understand either a language or a context or to interact with humans. And for this reason, we decided for our research, because Lucy is first a research project for the moment. It's not a product. And so we released this Lucy.chat, where we propose to our community, the OpenLLM France community to interact with Lucy. But we didn't think that so many people, they will join and they will jump, try to use Lucy and so on, and they have tested the model like if it was a product, but it was not. And so the Lucy is not yet totally trained. That's why the results are not so good. There are like GPT-2, which is at least not so bad, but we want to have Lucy as the same level as the best in class. And so we are working on this in that direction, and you are going to see Lucy that is going to come back, and then she will be more ready.
We're running out of time. I'm going to skip right ahead to environmental concerns. The final communique of the summit commits to making AI sustainable. Not everyone signed off on it, obviously. Can there be an AI revolution before a completed green transition?
Great question. I think that there are two levels to that in terms of an answer. One is how AI can help us face the sustainability challenges. And then the second aspect is the sustainability of AI. And so at AWS, we're very committed to the questions of sustainability. You will have seen that in December of last year, we launched some announcements talking about the improvement of our chips, Trainium and Inferentia, that are actually much more energy efficient and allow businesses and organizations of all size to innovate in a more energy efficient way. But we also announced data energy efficiency improvements in the ways in which we build our data centers. But I think another aspect to think about is how AI can actually help us develop tools to track our carbon consumption. And it's work that we're doing with companies like Schneider Electric in developing carbon footprint tracker tools to help our customers think through what they are consuming and how to do it more efficiently.
Sasha Rubella and Alexandre Zapolsky, I'm really sorry. That's all we have time for. Sasha Rubel, you are the head of generative AI policy Europe at Amazon Web Services. Alexandre Zapolsky, the president and co-founder of Linagora. Thank you so much, both of you, for your insights. That's all we have time for this week. If you want to watch any of our previous shows, do check out People and Profit on France24.com or on the podcast platform of your choice. In the meantime, thank you for watching and stay tuned.